Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, it's The Rundown, presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Yeah, so the Grizzlies season is officially over. They go down 110-96 to Golden State on the road, lose the series in six. And, of course, now that that is over, now that that season is officially a wrap, they're going to have exit interviews. They're going to have postscripts. What's everybody saying? What are the feelings around the franchise? Zach Kleiman, Executive of the Year this year, said, "I'm not allowed to say specifics when it comes to Ja Morant's max contract extension. Whatever I'm allowed to say under the NBA rules without violating the NBA rules, I hereby say Ja Morant's going to get the max." We definitely know that. I mean, that's just a – there's no doubt about that. I thought it was interesting. I was listening to Bobby Marks, you know, because Bobby Marks does all these posts. As soon as the season ends, he has all this.
Has it written up for you.
You know, he kind of made it sound like, you know, there would be a way for Tyus to return. Now, that's not my main priority in the offseason.
Now, D, I feel like you just search around looking for people that have written ways for this to happen.
No, they just.
And that's what you do.
They just write about it, man, and talk about it. So he seemed to think that there was a way for Tyus to return. The most important order of business, though, and I think it's going to be a very quick order of business, is, hey, Ja, here's your $180 million extension with $40 million if you make, you know, first all team NBA. All-NBA. Mm-hmm. Congratulations. You're staying in Memphis for a long time.
And then for you, Tyus.
And then, yeah, I mean, you get that done, and then you sort of see what else is going around. Ja Morant said, "Do I want to be in Memphis? Hell yeah, I want to be in Memphis. Don't say another word, Ja. Say less. We got you."
Well, you're funny.
We can make.
Don't say another word.
Okay.
Say less.
The good news is we can make something like that happen.
I don't think that'll ever stop being funny to me. You probably play it 30 straight times.
That was so funny.
Could you tell that was a real laugh? That wasn't a fake laugh.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's funny when I hear Lionel tell me to shut up,
if we had Lionel on the show.
Say another word.
Okay.
Say less.
If we had Lionel on the show.
I mean, you know you're coming on to a talk show, right? And the person that's asking.
He doesn't give an S about what you think about what he's about to say on your radio show.
I was asking him a legit question about Stephen A. Smith saying they should train LeBron. This man, were you coming on to answer questions or just to come on to tell me to shut the hell up?
Say less.
Well, I think you know. What do you think Lionel would say if you asked him, you know, about Ja Morant's, like, pending contract extension?
That his goddamn job ain't to cover Ja Morant, watch Ja Morant or these Grizzlies. That's what I feel like he would say.
That's so
I mean, didn't he not say that about Jaren? No. He said,
"Don't say another word."
Okay,
say less.
I asked him about Jaren. How important is he, Coach?
Bro, you sounded like that parent at the game this weekend.
Let me make one thing clear to you. My damn job ain't to sit around and watch Jaren Jackson or these Memphis Grizzlies. Now, with that said, I think he can be a very important piece.
Coach, what do you think of the postseason? I've watched all of it. So, in particular, the Memphis game, what did you think of that? I didn't see that.
I love Coach Holland.
No, for sure. No, I think that's...
We had a good time out there at 360 with him.
That was actually a pleasant Coach Lionel Holland.
Yeah, that was fun.
You think Ja's going to get the Mac extension, bro?
Don't ask silly questions.
Don't say another word.
Okay.
Say less.
You should hit the penny one on that one, Brad. What? Oh, yeah. Ask that again, John.
You think Ja's going to get the max contract?
Here. Where'd my clips go? Dang,
where are the clips?
We got a clip issue.
That sounds like one of those. One of those questions posed to Penny Hardaway this year.
It ain't easy. It ain't easy.
Asking me stupid questions.
There she is.
That's what that would be about Ja. Didn't we have a caller ask that of you one time?
Remember, they asked, "Is John? Yeah, is John Morant?"
You had the same kind of fun with it.
Is he a max player, John? Max player.
Stop asking me stupid f-ing questions.
Yeah, that was a day for sure. Yeah, in terms of everything else, though, you know, I don't know how much time you want to spend on the Steven Adams Peabody.
That was good.
You know,
well, I thought you would like it, Brad.
That was a good way of deflecting from the rebounding disparity in Game 6, wasn't it? Just get the duck talk going.
Oh, don't disparage Steven. He had a rough go. He had COVID for a week, and he was out.
Yeah, didn't he give you double-digit rebounds on all three of the games at the end?
We're an easy media to please. There is no question about that. If that was New York, that would not be flying. There would not be many people laughing in that media room after that one. That's just the truth. I mean, it doesn't take much to entertain us as a media conglomerate in Memphis.
I don't know how much of that, you know, what happened in that game from a rebounding standpoint, and it was embarrassing. You can just lay at the hands of him. We certainly have to mention Jaren Jackson Jr. in this rebounding conversation if we're going to go there. Is that ever going to get better?
No.
Like, consistently better, or is this it? Because I would tell you that if this is it, you better have a center next to him for the rest of his career. You can't put him at center, and he played the same style in terms of the – we don't need to go through it. We see it. And he rebound like this because then the pressure's on everyone else. But – and you're – that's not fair.
He doesn't have a desire to rebound. He does not have a desire to rebound.
Is it desire, or is it just the way he plays, and so he's never around the damn glass?
Right.
He's 7 feet tall.
Defense, but again, defensively, 7 feet tall, a lot of times on the perimeter because he's so versatile. Yeah. He's covering guards out there, and that's one of his strengths. But again, not around the basket there for the defensive rebound.
Yeah.
And then because you shoot so many threes, not around the basket either for the offensive rebound where so many guys add rebounds there, right? And so it's just the style of his game that if he's ever going to be the true center for you, right, you decide to go different and you truly make him center. Like Harrington and so many others have said, well, that's the long-term plan for him. You're just not going to survive if it's this Jaren. And so I guess it's been the elephant in the room with Jaren for, 4 years now. And again, it comes back to haunt you. He ends up that game with 4 rebounds. So I know we've looked at the ones where he gets double digits. What, do you have 10 earlier in the series? He had that one, and you look at, okay, this can be the Jaren going forward. But, guys, he's not shown signs that he's going to be that guy consistently because that game is not built to be around the basket and be the guy that can use his athleticism around the basket and be an elite rebounder.
If you watch that game 6 closely, and I rewatched it the other day because I was so angry. I was just living
through some of them are long rebounds. I know we keep getting that for some.
But Jaren, when there's a ball on the floor or a bounce off, he is not in the mix. If you look at the games, he ain't going to go get a ball. He just doesn't. I mean, it just doesn't seem like sometimes.
Yeah. So again, getting back to Steven Adams and the rebound situation, hell, he ain't the issue. The issue's been everybody else and what you do about that going forward, whether you keep a center around Jaren because he's just never going to be that guy because of his style of game or, you know, whether ultimately he develops into something. I'm done hoping he develops into that guy. That just doesn't look like it's going to happen, John.
Yeah.
Because his game's not changing.
Right.
Yeah, there'll be more post-ups. But is he a guy that's going to be around the basket all the time? No, not on both ends.
So you think you're going to have to keep a center then, huh?
Man, it's what it feels like, doesn't it, to you?
Yeah, I just feel like if you only have 4 rebounds. Now, I mean, some people would argue that and say, well, if you take Steven Adams out of the equation, then some of his 13 would go to Jaren. That would be the argument.
Again, he's not going to be around that basket half the time.
Yeah, I agree. I have not liked what I've seen from Jaren exclusively at the 5, which is like I know there's a push to make him that.
The franchise that's been they're moving that way and have been moving that way for years that he would be ultimately your future center because of what he represents at that position. But again, yes, in so many areas, it's an advantage for you, Jaren, at center, and what he can represent in terms of being a mismatch and defensively how versatile he is. But in that one area where, again, it's going to – I mean, we saw it. We saw you get dominated there by freaking Kevon Looney and Draymond Green. What, you were the leading rebounding team in the league this year. You're getting manhandled. It's going to be something that they're going to have to figure out how to address if Jaren's not going to change there. And again, I would just go to, I'm done holding out hope. So, yeah, it's starting to feel like to me you're going to have to always keep a center beside him. Wasn't that the deal at Michigan State? Didn't he have Tillman beside him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, were you sad when the game ended? My son was.
He came and he cried. And I realized, you know what, this is when it's fun. This is when it's fun when there's no real expectations because it wasn't, right? I could still look at it. Even though my kid was locked in, he was like you. He was down.
Yeah.
Right? The now of this. We could have won.
Right.
We were close in the fourth, and so it's tough to get past that moment. But for me,
I managed to do it. I mean, I did manage to get past it ultimately.
For me, even with the way that game ended, and as embarrassing as it was to get dominated the way they did at the end of the game,
right.
this was better to me than 12-13. This entire season. And some would have issue with that because I've already seen it tweeted at me. Well, you went to the Western Conference Finals. You know, we got that early this year when we maybe started to think about could this be a special enough season that it's the best. And you would obviously point back to 12-13 as the one. You go to the Western Conference Finals, albeit you get swept by the Spurs. But you do advance there first time in franchise history as far as you've ever been. That said, there are a number of reasons we could go down the list of why I think this one, though, number one, more important, right? Because it represents the start of something. I know that the Grizzlies with Zach and Mike and that team 2 years later is in the Western Conference semis, still competitive, still there, right? But that was one of the league's older teams with those guys, like with what you had with Gasol and, you know what I'm saying? You're not one of the five youngest teams in the league. Again, you come into the year two, based on minutes played, I think you were fourth in average weighted A. Still, but this represents the start of something. And look at how much they overachieved still. What was it, 41 in terms of the season total?
Yeah, it was 41.
You end up number two in the West. You weren't number two in the West the year you won 56 games. Yes, you went to the West Conference, but you weren't number two in the West that year, 12-13. And so for so many reasons, namely which right there, this feels like a beginning. Ja Morant's 22. You know, you don't have a group of aging stars. This one just feels like the best. This feels like the best Grizz season thus far.
So,
even having not made a Western Conference final,
that's an interesting opinion because I do think there are going to be people who don't agree with that.
Who wouldn't have the conversation because you didn't make a West, right?
Yeah,
they wouldn't even.
Yeah, I think there are going to be people who should hold that season very near and dear. I mean, that was the first and only Western Conference Finals appearance. Now, how much of an appearance was it? I mean, that's, you know, they were swept.
Does that not, factor in?
I think it does.
We act like it just cuts off when you get there.
I think it does.
You got swept.
Yeah, I mean, you made it. Yeah, you got two games in Memphis with the Western Conference Finals. And look, I remember that time, 13, I was 22 years old. It was like, wow, like Memphis was on fire, bro. Like the city, you had Barbecue Fest going on. You had the Western Conference Finals. You had a civic pride that I had not seen maybe ever. Like it was crazy.
It was snuffed out.
It was crazy. And it was. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But I just remember going into that, just the feeling. It didn't last long. Again, it didn't last long. But where I would agree with you and where I would come ultimately on your side is here. When that season ended and they got swept in the Western Conference Finals, like, you just didn't really know what was beyond that door, right?
Yeah.
Like, you had an aging roster. Like, and it was not perfect. Like, you had Tayshaun Prince out there. You know, you had Tony Allen. You had Mark and Mike and Z-Bo, an aging roster, a roster that...
That's what I'm saying.
Incredible. Like, an incredible run, and that run was special, you know, and it has not been touched since. But we're coming away from this one, having tied the record, having been a high, you know, the two seed, right?
Higher
than you've ever been.
Yes.
And you're coming away from it feeling like this is just the beginning, right? This is just the surface of what they're going to ultimately be.
Think about the win total they were predicted to have at the beginning of it. It's just
41.
A damn surprise.
I mentioned that as well.
Now, apparently this is not the most they've ever overachieved.
Yeah,
it's
a great
before.
Point, Jason.
I think Jeff went through that. Yeah. There was one more year. That's not 12-13.
That's not 12-13. There was a random, you know, random year. But
But that's one factor. We're talking about a multitude of
reasons. You came away from 12-13 thinking that was like our chance.
That was it.
That was going to be the year because Russell Westbrook got hurt, and you know you just felt
beat
like
them
with
4-1, I believe
that roster
that
roster was never going to get back there ever. Like, and you just knew that. Like, and they
again,
were relevant.
It was playing a style that ran counter to the
100%.
Rest of the NBA. So how long was it going to last?
Right.
With again an aging core,
and then the Warriors came onto the scene. You know, after that, and it just like very quickly. They were relevant in a little bit of ways after that.
Yeah, I looked that up to make sure. 2 years later, they were in the Western Conference semis.
But then they lost the Warriors, right? The Warriors put them out in six games.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Is that the broken face year?
Yeah, that's the year that Mike
Conley.
Weren't they up 2-1?
Up 2-1.
Yes, they were up
2-1. That felt good.
And then they did. It sure did.
And it was pretty much the end of it.
That was the last.
The end of the high.
The dying of the 100%. The feeling here,
they capitalized
is,
on Tony Allen is what they did.
I mean, all of them, man. All of those guys. Yeah, they certainly did. They got the absolute most out of them, and I think that's a moment that the franchise should be proud of, and that every Memphis Grizzlies fan should be proud of as well. But this is a different sense. This is a different vibe. Totally. This is like, yo, you thought that was like we're gonna come back next year, and the year after that, and the year after that, and we're gonna be a staple. That was not the way you felt with that Grizzlies team. So I'll give it to you. I think this one was more fun to be a part of, for sure. Because A, you were more relevant. Like people weren't coming out and talking about the Grizzlies in 12-13 as a title contender.
Yeah, you reached a different level of relevance. You were national relevance, where you're becoming the head,
right.
The lead. You know, the A block
yes.
lead on First Take and everything
yes.
else. That was different.
You were a disruptor, right? Kind of the same way that the Tigers, when the Tigers make the Final Four. They're disruptors. They're party crashers. That's how they've always been, right?
Like, that's how they look at you. Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how they looked at the Grizzlies in 12-13. This is a totally different situation. Now it's like you are the, like you said, the A block of that conversation because you have Ja Morant.
Ja.
And the style. Like Desmond Bane's progression is going to continue. Zari is going to continue to get better.
Zari
Williams.
And then you add some guys, you know, like you go out and add. You know, pick a player. I don't care. So, yes.
Your thing is just don't go into the luxury tax.
It ain't my money. I don't care. You can do whatever the hell
Thank
you want.
Thank you. So let Paris spend it. You said he ain't going
to
do it.
Most of the rich guys I know don't like to spend money. It's weird.
But when they got it?
Yeah, but it's just weird how that worked. Like, they don't spend money they don't have to spend.
My man Ballmer's way over.
Well, he's a maniac.
And then who's in between? Gilbert, I guess? So he's probably not, right? The Cavs.
No, they're not.
Because of the situation.
I got to pull it up.
Would he be willing? Absolutely. Especially if you mix, you know, maybe he doesn't.
We were going to play the Steve Adams Peabody clip, but Jason put the ixnay on that thing because he just did not find it funny.
It's cute.
Yeah.
This is something I think went a long way with. I feel like it went a long way with Brad. Went a long way with Sam.
I'm a sucker for when you say mate and I'll have to find
again,
it.
Steven Adams is a funny guy, though. You don't think he's a funny guy?
He's funny.
Does he use it as a defense mechanism?
It's a little tool.
It's a deflection tool.
For sure.
Absolutely.
And everybody in that room went for it, bro.
No, they
always do. I'm done with it. That's what I'm saying. I'm done with it.
He's calling BS on it.
It was like,
and I love Drew Hill
enough.
To death.
It wasn't just Drew, it was everybody.
Drew asked him. Drew said we
Giannotto
asked.
Giannotto is guilty of that.
Drew said it. Drew asked him. He said, "Yeah, Giannotto jumped right in." But Drew asked him, "Did you make it to see the Ducks like I asked you before the season? Did you check that off the box?"
I think.
And then Giannotto, seeing an opportunity, he jumped all in there.
He arranged to be Duckmaster.
Calkins got in there, right? Calkins was in there.
I don't know if Calkins did or not.
I think I heard.
But if not, opportunity missed.
I think I heard the Cerberus of Memphis media. Drew Hill, Giannotto, and Calkins.
We get to Steven Adams on these Duck questions, man. I mean, it was probably became priority.
No, gosh, Steven Adams, like he's
got y'all in the palm of his hand.
No,
he's using you.
Are you speaking of white folks?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
They happen to be white.
I'm just saying media, anywhere he is, he's got this ability
to
turn you
into. He's very coy.
He's a charmer. You don't even know you're being charmed.
Yeah, right.
He charms the pants off of you to the point you would never ask him a question about his performance or challenge.
The rebounding disparity.
It's totally fair.
It's very clever on his part.
It's smart.
No, and I don't think it's like that sinister, bro. I don't think he's
coming. Oh, it's sinister.
No, I don't think he has like cruel intentions.
Do you put that on your Tinder?
I don't think he's coming in there. I'm gonna throw these media guys off.
He does.
Well, that's pretty good.
I just don't think he's doing that. I think he's coming in there. That's who he is as a person. But there is no question that every single media guy in that room, hook, line,
they
sinker.
Lost their train of thought.
They're
on
like,
the
ducks, ducks, quack, quack, quack. Carl started doing the quack, 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 quack. He started doing the walk. Like Drew Hill was behind. They all formed a line. They were all walking like they were at the Peabody.
It's like he had him in the sunken place. Like him with the teaspoon or whatever. He started talking about the Ducks, and that he had every last reporter up in there.
Yeah.
I'm telling you right now.
Now, when you asked the question it was like a feeding frenzy, though. It was like they were all crowding a barrel, bro.
It was a competition, and it was competitive.
It was.
Yes. I was like, there's Gino.
You can hear it.
And you thought it was a hockey team.
There's
did you
Drew.
Ever get to go see the Peabody Ducks? Like, did you ever cross that off the list yet, or no?
No. Are these those little marching guys out at the hotel?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I haven't done it yet. See, yeah, I mean, I guess I gotta go see it. I think. Do young people do that? Little kids do? Okay, little kids. Yeah. I just don't want
They're
to show
Hawkins.
Up.
Hawkins, like, I Hawkins heard in the mix. That term.
Now, Mark, you should clarify exactly what's going on here. It's the Duckmaster.
And then really young kids.
Hawkins?
I'm going to guess.
Because I'm like in between. I don't want to be like the lame guy. Like,
I'm going to guess.
What's this lame dude doing, bro? Like, enough, get out of here. This is for boomers, bro.
Giordano was talking over him to get the question.
He said, you have enough cash.
I was listening to Giordano over him.
Yeah. Mark said you have enough cachet to be the Duckmaster.
Right. To get that point, he wanted him to know that.
He was talking over Stephen Adams.
No, well, you get the point. You get the point.
Yes, here's Mark.
I feel like a guy who's like actually the Duckmaster, and then they have honorary, like celebrities, you know.
Put that on the Tinder profile, eh, mate? Yeah.
The room has been disarmed.
Oh yeah,
you've disarmed everyone in there.
I've forgotten my question.
Steven, do you know exactly?
I was going to ask you about getting doubled up by Kevon Looney,
and it's an amazing quality of his.
It is. No, I do. I think the accent, though. I think the accent is a huge part of it, though. If he was just a regular, like Chandler Parsons wouldn't have the crowd laughing like that if he said the same exact thing, right?
You're 100% right.
It's the Kiwi accent.
He could talk about being on the toilet, and that's what I'm saying, but it's the way he's going to say it.
Yes.
That's so entertaining.
Yeah, like out like Bluey. You know, that's what makes Bluey so charming. That kid's show. Bluey is my daughter's favorite show.
It's amazing. Those change so fast. Yeah,
They're Australian blue healers. I'll walk around the house, you know, saying, "Hello, mate. We're gonna have some,
And she loves it.
Oh, of course. But like, that's how I talk in just my general parlance at home now. Like, that's my vernacular. I just use Bluey vernacular. It's just everything sounds funnier and more adorable when it's in an Australian or a Kiwi accent. It's just the facts. But there is no doubt, and Jeff didn't address it. I need Giannata to address it. You guys were absolutely bedazzled in that Stephen Adams press conference yesterday, and it's out there for the entire world to see it. I was not as bedazzled by his performance in Game 6, so I know he was battling. He had some injury issues and, you know, on
I mean, dude's coming back from COVID. Like, a lot of times it takes folks a long time to recover from that.
It is what it is. But I will say this, he did make the impact we thought he would make, ultimately, in that series, right? Not in Game 6.
Yeah, just wanted more of it. Unfortunately, couldn't get it because he couldn't play.
But the breaking news, of course, is that the Grizzlies do intend to offer Ja Morant a max contract, and suspect he will accept it.
Next story.
All right, we have not talked a ton about this, but how about those Boston Celtics, John?
Bleed green, bro.
I was wrong, man, because I thought the Bucks were going to close out in Game 6.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Right. But you weren't, huh? And so now anybody that thought the Bucks at home close out was stupid. Wow. It was half the nation, if not more of it, John.
I mean, that's a lot of dumb people.
And Jason Tatum. I'm going to take it back there.
That's why I'm so disappointed in you.
46 points.
Because you know that.
Why did I not believe it in what I've been preaching? Light-skinned LeBron.
I mean,
he has become this unstoppable force, and a lot of times you'll get it on both ends now.
Yes.
Dude, 46 in that one, and then they come back, and I know Grant Williams had a lot to do with it, but Tatum, I've got the box. He still was good yesterday as well. 23 points, 8 assists, 6 rebounds, just does a little bit of everything. I know had the 7 turnovers, but I'd rather have that ball in his hands, turn that ball over 7 times, than in Marcus Smart's hands.
Absolutely.
Like it was in the end of, what was that, Game 5, and Drew Holiday's taking it from you. Jason Tatum took a huge step this year, and he might not be done stepping, John, because I think he's going to step all over your Miami Heat.
Oh, buddy, let me ask you a couple questions. One is, pick one, Ja Morant, Luka Doncic, Grant Williams.
What am I picking for, though?
Just one. Pick a player. You can have one player.
I'm going to get Ja Morant. Don't ask me stupid questions.
Wrong. Answer is Grant Williams. Grant Williams is the answer. Secondly, that series is going to be an absolute war. I mean, it's like picking between your kids. Which one's my favorite? You know, because both of them have A, been a pleasure to watch, and B, have been very profitable.
You should have just made B A there.
But they go hand in hand. You're very much of a pleasure to watch if you're a profitable team. That's the way I look at it. Here's the thing with Boston. That series should have been over in 5. They were the definitively better team than Milwaukee. Other than game one, Milwaukee never looked good. They should have won game three. They had they were a second away from sending that in overtime. They were much better in game four.
I prefer to give credit to Giannis.
Well, and he does
deserve
credit.
Without Drew Holiday.
The reason why Middleton, right? I will say Holiday was not great in this series.
No.
Like, he was not the Drew Holiday of last year. And I know he's getting more attention because Middleton is out. but you know, they collapsed in game five. Right, blew a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, won game six comfortably, and then killed them in game seven. So Boston eventually got to where I thought they'd be at the beginning of the series, which was the better team. Miami, of course, coming in here as the best three-point shooting team in the NBA.
Well, that doesn't intimidate
me. In a regular
season. Doesn't intimidate me. I mean, Boston's a great defending team.
They are. Boston has superstars, well, at least one. Jaylen Brown's probably not a superstar because he can have his moments where he's just not locked in. Miami does not. Miami has Jimmy Butler, who is a great player.
But and can play like a star.
Not a superstar.
But not every night.
And they have a bunch of guys who are sort of better than the sum of their parts. I think this is a series that will be determined by whether or not Kyle Lowry can play and play well. If Kyle Lowry can't play or can't play well, then I think Boston wins the series. Because you're asking Gabe Vincent to sort of step up. It's one thing to do it against Atlanta, which was a mess. It's one thing to do it against Philadelphia, which was also a mess without Joel Embiid to start that series. And then as easily as they let go of the rope there. Now you're asking Gabe Vincent to step up against Marcus Smart and that great defense that you were talking about with Boston. I think it's a coin flip of a series. I could see it going either way. I do think the Heat win game one because you're coming off of an emotional game seven, right? Long series, not a lot of rest. You only get a day off in between, right? They're back to work tomorrow. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. Now, the good news is they just killed Milwaukee, so they had time to rest. But I see that one as a I don't think there's a lot of value if that's the direction you're asking. I don't think there's a lot of value on that series price right now. The series price that if I were going to bet on a series right now, it would be Mavs plus 205 because I do think they match up decently well, and that's the best value you're going to get. Like, I could see the Mavs winning games. I would wait on that, though, for them to go down 0-1 because I do think they're losing on Wednesday. I do think the Mavs lose game one on Wednesday, and I think you're exactly right. The difference and the true challenge for the Dallas Mavericks is going to be how do they handle that transition basketball that Golden State is inevitably going to make them play?
Mm-hmm.
Phoenix didn't do that. Chris Paul was plodding, man. He was bringing that thing up, getting into the offense methodically.
That helps Luka.
100%. You know, they did struggle in transition. They're going to struggle in transition because they're not a particularly athletic team. So Golden State is going to challenge them in a way that they have not been challenged. Now, Dallas did win the season series 3-1. Granted, Golden State's got guys in and out all season long. We know that. But, yeah, I think this is a – if you just love basketball, this is an amazing conference final series both ways.
I want to go back to something I touched on with you before the show. Not a lot of people have noticed it this year, but you've got Damon Stoudemire sitting on that – I mean, he is sitting every day on that right ear of Ime Udoka, the Boston Celtics coach who's been such a stud this first year and turned around their defense with much of the same roster that Brad Stevens has. They're playing a defense that they did not play last year. A lot of that is Damon Stoudemire. I'm going to tell you this. It's a damn shame he's going to end up having to go to the NBA, right, to get a job there as a head coach.
Yep.
He couldn't get a real one, a good one in college. And I realized a lot of that came down to whether or not he was going to get the Arizona job.
Right.
I mean, let's be real. That's the one. And then that's where he played, and they decided to go another direction. But Damon at that point should have had his choice of jobs after Arizona at this point. Ends up going to the league, and I'm telling you right now, look at how much Ime leans on him all game long. You could see him constantly. Damon's in his ear.
Yep.
That dude's going to be the next great head coach in the NBA. Unfortunately, it's going to be one of the NBA's benefit, you know, him getting up there. Hopefully he gets his shot, John, because if Willie Green can do it and be great and you love him, and I'm going to be honest with you, Willie Green looked good.
Green is really green.
It's a different thing, though, when you get C.J. McCollum in there and you get that dose of professionalism. It's amazing. You put a little coaching on it, little fiery speeches, and I think that's why he had you so fired up.
Yeah,
it's because you relate like to Stephen his speeches, Adams. Right? If Willie Green can be good, Damon Stoudemire can be great as an NBA head coach. He's next.
Yes.
He's next. There's no way they're going to be able to keep him on that staff working for Udoka and the head coach benefiting from a lot
especially
of what he's giving
especially as a former NBA
you.
Point guard.
That dude is a stud coach, has been since he was at Memphis.
Now he'll be a great NBA coach. Like, he'll be a great
NBA
coach.
He will. Jason Kidd is thriving now.
Yeah, because
if he can do it, Damon
because
will.
Damon
doesn't preach defense.
Like, I will say the one area Damon, like, in some ways would struggle or could have struggled in college is because he is a very straightforward, blunt dude. You know what I mean?
Oh, man, he gives it to you so like, raw and real. You don't have any other, you don't right. have any choice but to swallow it.
In college basketball recruiting, that is not always the most efficient way to do it. Some people get offended when you are too real with them. In the NBA, like, it's like, I think all the players are going to appreciate him being real. You know, I really do. I think he's going to have like that Eric Spoelstra
man
sort of like vibe
no
about him.
No doubt.
And so I think he is going to be a great NBA
somebody
coach.
Somebody better jump on it.
They you will. Especially
don't get beat to the punch.
Especially if they win this next series, yeah. right?
See, again, and I'm happy Mike Brown's getting another opportunity. But if I'm the Kings or something, I just shake it up. You need to be looking at a Damon, the next big thing.
Yeah.
That's what he could be. Mike Brown ain't going to be that.
No doubt. Now, he did put Kevon Looney in the starting lineup in game 6. And full credit, because we were killing him after game 5. You know,
yeah.
no, he, did,
I,
he did make that
listen,
adjustment
listen,
without Curry.
Listen,
the, you know.
No, I'm not rooting against him. Jason Kidd has obviously shown
100%.
In another tenure you can
yes.
be better.
Yes.
So hopefully that happens for Mike Brown. My point more so wasn't to disparage Mike Brown. It's more that, my gosh, these folks should be looking at Damon Stoudemire as
yes.
a guy who could come in, maybe change your culture.
Yes.
Certainly have you planned defense.
No,
when he was here, Memphis played great defense.
Agreed. I think Ime Udoka and Taylor Jenkins both deserved Coach of the Year honors over mine. That's easy to say. Today, because the
yeah,
Suns were embarrassed.
Monty should have won it last year, so that's all they were
did
doing.
Did he not win it last year?
No, he got edged out by Tibbs, and so this was the payback.
Oh, okay. I thought he won it 2 years in a row.
No, that's how the NBA works
then.
On. They
no,
were paying him back for not
okay.
winning it last
that's
year.
That's fine then, whatever.
Yeah.
But the roster was the same. Whose job was more impressive? Ime Udoka's, Taylor Jenkins, or Monty Williams?
You make a fine point. Now, Phoenix was much better than the rest of the league. What helps you is what just happened.
Let me ask you this. We're going to take calls on the Grizzlies, get your thoughts on the season.
Yeah.
More, like, what was crazier when you sit back and you watch it happen? What happened in Phoenix last night, game 7 at Phoenix, or the Grizzlies doing what they did to the Warriors in game 5 here? Which was crazier to watch? I think that's a really interesting question. And I could hear both cases.
What, crazier to watch what Grizzlies did here game 5
being up 55
yeah and it was crazy
or the Golden State or the Dallas Mavericks winning by
I don't know
40 basically.
It was I was almost stunned into a silence watching both
yep
so it is a good question that is a good question
I mean like
One that requires probably a good 30 to seconds to a minute of thought
right, well,
before I
you
answer.
Have any waiting room music so we can let Jason sort of come to us?
Well, we
got
to we gotta get to calls. We gotta get
you
to,
don't want to answer
saying.
Right now? What, are you going to make us wait?
Why are you making me do it on the spot?
I'll say.
Is the answer that obvious that it's
an
on the spot?
I'll say the crazier thing to watch was Phoenix. What happened to Phoenix?
I agree with that.
Because it was a game 7 at their place, right?
True.
That's right. Why. I think it's close. I think it's really close.
That probably is the thing that puts it over the top.
The case you would make for the Grizzlies is they'd have John Morant. But I would counter that by saying they didn't have John Morant for a lot of games this year. So they were very familiar with how to play. And also, I can entertain the fact that Golden State knew they had a game 6 back at their place. And so they were
still,
like...
Still, though, if we end up looking back and that was a team that ends up winning the title, will that not...
Who?
Change how we feel? Golden State?
Golden State is not winning the championship.
They could.
They're not. You can't lose by 50, give you down by 55 in a
saying,
playoff game.
I like it a lot better with now them playing Dallas than playing Phoenix. Okay?
Phoenix.
So getting
having,
there is going to be
Phoenix
easy.
Having been in the NBA Finals a year ago, having been up 2-0 in the NBA Finals a year ago, game 7 at their place when they had looked as dominant as they've looked at home, I am going to say Dallas. That was the crazier result.
No, it's fair because of where it was.
Right. Game 7, elimination game. Legacy game for Chris Paul, by the way. You know?
Yeah, I'm not going to shed a tear for Chris Paul. So
you just don't want to answer.
If you're looking for me to.
You're just not going to answer. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do.
No, I'm not.
Since Jason has refused to answer this question, 535-3776, 535-ESPN, it's going to be the People and the John show for the rest of the day here. How do you feel about the Grizzlies season? What do you... Think about what do you remember? What were your favorite moments? What are the vibes in Grizz Nation? 535-ESPN, 535-3776. We'll get to your calls when we come back. But before we do that, playoffs roll on. It's important to be a good shooter. Luka's a good shooter. Steph and Clay are good shooters. We saw that on display in Game 6. How do they become that? They become that by putting in the work, trying to find those edges and those advantages. Well, one of those edges and advantages exists right here in Memphis at a place called Shoot 360. It's a great place to take your young one out there. They love the sport of basketball, want to get serious about it. It's going to help them refine their skills, get them ready for that upcoming basketball season, especially with the summer coming up. Measure their jumper, their arc, their depth, all of that. It'll make them a better basketball player. They'll love it. Get out there today.
Yep, and they make it super affordable. That's what I'm here to tell you as a dad who's got a kid who absolutely loves it out there. You can do a one-year commitment, 12 months, as low as $130 a month. I don't need to go through it. That's a great deal because you're going to get unlimited access to that state-of-the-art training equipment, their development coaches. They will put the program together themselves for your child. They're going to have fun. They're going to get better. And as John said, that's from the shot all the way around to their ball handling. Fantastic deal. They've even got the 8-foot goal for the kiddies. It's the future of basketball training, as we like to call it, right here. And the future is now at Shoot 360. Go see them out at 85 Market Center Drive in Cairo.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's McCulley Roofing and Renovations.
535-377-6535-ESPN. Now that the Grizzly season has ended, you've had 48 hours to think about it. How you feeling? What are your thoughts on the Grizzly season, the future? Taking your calls now. We go to Corey. Corey, you're on.
Yo, Jason, John, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, brother?
Well, I feel about the Grizzlies. You know, they're a team that, you know, had a solid season, solid team, you know. Took advantage of some scenarios that broke for them along the season. And
Feel it coming, Corey. Go ahead, man.
What advantages did they take advantage of?
Corey, I remember, and you did
they
this
took
last
advantage.
Time.
I know you remember.
You butted
Jason,
them up,
I know.
And then
I know
you hated
do.
On them.
I don't hate, man. I don't hate. Listen, my Warriors are going to get another championship. Why do I need
my Warriors?
I knew it when you called.
My Warriors.
You must be feeling real good now that Dallas broke through, huh, Corey?
Hey, man, we already got championships. This is the normal.
Right. Y'all beat the sorry Nuggets and the Grizzlies without Ja.
Hey, the Grizzlies better without Ja all year.
Stop.
Oh, get out.
Enough.
Come on, bro.
Enjoy your run, Corey. It's over.
Hey,
Corey,
I hope your hating ass wins
out.
The title.
Hey, Jason.
Luka put
Jason.
You out.
Hey, Jason.
I'm rooting for you to get a title now, Corey. That's real. Go ahead.
Hey, Jason, you old Bears fan. You'll never see another championship.
Good at damning somebody in their fan base. You will never win another title. That's what he said about the Grizzlies last time he called. Now my Bears won't win one. Corey, that's straight hate.
Yeah, Corey, you got to stop, man. You got to stop that
hate,
bro.
I'm rooting for your Warriors. Y'all go ahead, because then it looks better for the Grizzlies.
Anybody rooting for the Warriors?
No, I'm going to do it, because then it looks better for the Grizzlies that it was that close without Ja Morant.
Yeah.
So, Corey, I hope you win it all.
All right, no thanks, Corey. No thanks for calling in. 535-377-6535-ESPN.
We got to get Corey out. That's what I'm saying, y'all.
Well, it's kind of tough. There's not a whole lot to say to Corey right now, man. The Warriors just put the Grizzlies out. We don't have a whole lot of Warrior fans in Memphis coming back out. They are not winning the championship, though. You don't get down by 55 and win the championship. That's not the way it works. Joe, welcome to the show,
hey.
Man.
Whoa, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Joe? We had a good run, didn't we, brother?
Yeah, we had a good run, man. Disappointing weekend after Friday, but, you know, it's hard to say, man, when you sit there and watch Dylan Brooks had a Tyler Harris syndrome where he shoots you in and he shoots you out the game, but, you know, but.
Tyler Harris caught a stray.
Uh-huh.
Tyler Harris.
John said you just put a bullet in Tyler Harris, Joe.
I mean, come on. I mean, Dylan Brooks had 30 points. I mean, he was doing good.
Rolling.
But at some time, you got to get other people involved because after the second half, man, you know they were keying on you. And like you said, somebody said earlier, that play where he kicked the ball and Wiggins went for the dunk, that was a game changer, man. I mean, get the ball up. I mean, I don't know if Dylan's going to be around next year. You know, I've been hearing you guys about scenarios about, you know, what the Grizz should do, what they shouldn't do. But, I mean, a guy like Dylan, man, I mean, I think he lost a game for us, man.
Joe, it sounds like, Joe, you're ready to get off the Brooks roller coaster. Sounds like you're ready to get off.
No, I'm still on. I can't wait till next year.
Okay.
I'm looking for bigger and better things next year. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm saying is you got to stay in a team concept. Just like you were saying earlier, Jason, about your son and all that, man. We all have to stay in a concept of the game, man, and what we respect and all that kind of stuff, man. But when you get out of that concept, things gonna go haywire, man.
Hey, Joe, appreciate it, brother. Thanks,
Joe.
For the
love
call.
You. Appreciate you, brother.
Joe says, respect the concept. We have a gentleman calling in saying his name is Zyrie Williams.
yeah, this is Zyrie. Corey, you're not allowed to watch or cheer for the Grizzlies anymore, and he shouldn't call into the show anymore.
Yeah,
Joe's kind of right.
It's an addiction. It's an addiction, Zyrie.
Yeah. The word on the streets is Dylan's getting out of here. I'm gonna be stepping up and taking his place. So Joe can cheer me on with everybody else. We're going to be back and better than ever next year. Everybody hang in there. It's going to be a good summer.
Zyrie, we're putting the ball in your hands in the summer league, baby. Taking over.
I did not know Zyrie was from Brighton or Atoka.
Yeah, Zyrie is different than I thought he was.
That man
is from new race.
Atoka, Tennessee, bro. Hometown. Jay, you're on.
Hey, what's going on, man? How y'all guys doing?
What's up, Jay?
No, but man, I was actually very happy with the season we had.
Yep.
And piggybacking on what the last guy said, the biggest thing was I'm so glad that we are continuing to draft well as an organization. And I'm just happy, man. They did all that they could. They gave us everything. They never quit. And I think the season was a success, man. And as the president of the Dylan Brooks fan club, this will be a rough summer because I do feel he may get shopped around for something.
Jay, thanks for the call.
Appreciate the call, bro.
535-377-6535-ESPN. I get a sense of, like, emotional hangover, right? Like, there is. And that's, like, I understand that completely. Like,
the fascinating thing when people bring up Brooks is there's no middle, really. It's either they want him gone or he's on.
Well, I don't think he's a kind of player that allows you to have a middle about him, quite honestly.
But don't y'all feel a little bit of a come over that even folks that were there with Dylan this entire time are starting to come over and see that, okay, maybe going forward with where the contract is, that he's not, right? That those folks are sort of coming over.
Like, Jeff keeps bringing up people who said all in last year. I was one of those. But really, I think I've revised what I was thinking at the time, and it was just get rid of Dylan Brooks is what I was thinking. And I think, because I don't think he helps the team even in whatever incarnation you use him for.
Well, he helps defensively.
Well, defensively, he's a beast.
But you know, he can shoot you in the game in that same game where he just locked down, dude.
No, he gives it back. There is no doubt about it.
It's Jekyll and Hyde, bro. Like, the plus minus still has a minus, you know?
But, you know, that's a friendly contract, too, so it's, you know, it's a...
He's an asset.
That's it. It's
an
team friendly. Right.
It's a contextual conversation. 5353-776-525-ESPN. We go to Chris. Chris, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Chris?
Oh, man. I want to say that after the game, I was so mad and so proud at the same time. I had mixed emotions because I just wasn't happy to be there. You know, I had high expectations for the Grizzlies. And, you know, this was definitely the best season ever. And, it was actually the first time that I ever got emotional about a team where I got teary-eyed when it was all done and I started reflecting. And I just got to say, I love the team and I'm excited about the future.
Chris, thanks for the call. Yeah, look.
I love that call because he was a little bit of both of us.
Yeah, no, for sure.
He was mad in the moment like you, but he was also proud like me seeing big picture.
It wasn't a mad.
Why do you keep the division? He's getting so defensive.
Well, because I was held up
but
as
it was
like
your
something
tweet.
That I wasn't. I know, but it was like, why don't you just have me on your show to address it? You know, maybe Jeff should have invited me on his show.
He'll talk to you about it on Wednesday.
By then, we'll be on to the next thing, man. We'll be breaking down conference finals games and everything else. It was not like a disappointment in the way I would have been disappointed and mad about the Tigers missing the NCAA tournament, right? Like, that would have been a failure. This was not at all that. It was only that I believed that the Grizzlies could have won this series if they unfortunately did not have a couple of things break wrong. That's all.
Yeah.
You know, that the margin was so thin and so narrow that, you know, I mean, I know we have to do that. I know we have to say how great the season was and how bright the future is. But, you know, in that moment, I was like, man.
You just didn't want to roll out of bed this morning.
I was fine rolling out of bed this morning, bro. Like, it's fine. It's just like, in that moment, my visceral reaction was, man, Grizz could have beat these dudes for real. Logan, you're on. Logan.
Yeah,
Logan,
hey, how's it going?
What's up, brother?
All right. Y'all missing the fact that Brandon Clark missed all those point-blank shots. He missed a bunch of shots.
Yeah, him and Tyus were not good. Him and Tyus, that last one. I think 4 of 22, the two of them.
Right. Yep. So, you know, everybody's blaming Dylan, but, hey, Brandon's got to take some of that, too.
Not with you wouldn't with that. That's fair.
Yeah.
That's absolutely fair.
And like I would like Logan, like, appreciate the call. Like I would
different
say
minutes though.
The Dylan Brooks dribbling his ball, the ball with his foot did not change the game in and of itself, but it did start the Avalanche.
It opened the door.
Yeah, the Avalanche came in after that.
But and the reason we're talking about Dylan, again, somebody's got to step up in that moment, and that ain't gonna be Brandon Clark. You know what I'm saying? Dylan is the one with Ja gone. That's going to get the shots in those moments, him or Bane. And so that's why you lead with Dylan. But I'm with the call. This is not laying at the feet of Dylan Brooks, this loss to them and that opportunity squandered. But again, y'all, I mean, you got no Ja. Steven Adams doesn't play the first two games.
Right.
And that thing was as close as it was. It, you know, a one-point game there in the fourth quarter for it all unravel. So that's a hell of a job by them, by the Grizzlies, too, just over to be as they were.
Over at DraftKings, they have posted their NBA championship futures for next season already. They get the word pretty fast over at these sports books.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll save it.
Yeah.
Jason wants me to save it. I've been given executive orders. Matthew, you're on.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, brother?
And a hypothetical person. The Grizzlies, would you give up the two first round draft pick if you could get a Damian Lillard or the guy from New Orleans, Brandon Ingram? And I hang up and listen. Thanks.
No, I would definitely not do that. There's just no way on earth I would give up two first round picks for, you know, all stars.
Yeah. And we drug test you immediately after. We can hear the sarcasm dripping off your words there, Wordsmith.
First of all, you're not getting them for that.
Well, it'd have to be more. That's what he's got to understand. And I'm sure he does. Yeah.
About Brooks and two
picks.
That'd
have to be some big packages.
You're not getting either of those
Damian
guys.
Damian Lillard for just Brooks.
Yeah, they're
going to
want
picks.
The Banes of the world and that kind of stuff.
Yes, of course they are.
Yeah.
It's going to be a huge
package. Or Zaire.
Bro, everybody, here's the problem with Dylan Brooks. Everybody watch that game.
I like how he's thinking.
That's exactly right.
I like how he's thinking, which is be aggressive. What's so different now?
Be aggressive. This man had a middle school basketball game right now.
I'm talking about a front office. Do you realize that it was a very short time ago, you had no faith whatsoever in the front office here in Memphis?
Very true. This is a great point.
The only thing you knew was that they were going to screw up the draft.
Well, in the core four.
Right?
And they were going to hold on to grit and grind.
Right, and push and try to fill them
holes.
Well,
that court is still sideways with the wood.
Try to keep that boat afloat. But that was the point. You didn't feel great about the future. You were just talking about that because look who was drafting.
No.
And now it's like, and you had no assets. You were just trying to keep the boat afloat was the way.
No, the Grizzlies.
Now it's all the assets in the world, a front office that makes great decisions, that drafts like it's freaking
hell
on fire.
Hell yeah.
And that adds to part of the reason why this was the greatest season ever.
Exactly right.
All of it.
The Grizzlies front office MO was this. It was a very clever marketing move. They would have a horrible draft, and then to get everybody off of their draft and get everybody like from stop being angry at them, they would say, hey, grit and grind. Remember that? That's what we're going to do it again.
2.0, 3.0, 4.0.
Folks had software updates for grit and grind, bro. We go to JR. JR, you're on.
Hey, guys. Really enjoy listening to y'all.
Thank you, bro.
My take on the Grizzlies this year, way better than we had hoped. So I think we got a lot, you know, to look forward to. A couple of points I'd like to make. Dylan Brooks. You know, my thinking is with Bane coming through like he has, Ja and Jaren, I just think, you know, there's not enough shots for the team if Dylan's out there. Because, you know, he wants to get his 20.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.